one of the most beautiful things that we can do is to consider what God wants and get on the same page with it. For if you've ever walked in an alley, they used to have alleys that I could walk through in Atlanta and even sometimes in Gainesville, but something about when the wind blows in an alley, you can feel it if you're walking with it pushing you. You can feel it. You can feel that all you have to do is very barely lift your feet up and it just kind of pushes you along. But if you walk against that wind pushing, you can feel the struggle. One of the things that in seeing that is that we realize that there is power in that wind. And the Bible likens the wind to the Holy Spirit. The big picture of what I'm trying to pull out for us in chapter 47 is just like that. We should be trying to move in line with God's Spirit of restoration for the family. We should try to move in line with God's Spirit of restoration for the family. Because when we go against God's restoration, it's hard. It's a struggle. And often, Anne, it may seem like it's easy to do wrong, to go along with other family members, to do things that our children want us to do things that we shouldn't do to our mates, to put up with things and allow things in our family that shouldn't be. It seems as if it's not hard till you feel the wind of the consequences. When the peace is gone, when the healing is gone, when the inheritance that you should have as a child of God is not there. Oh, how much more easy would it be to move right along with what God is doing. Now, Tim, how did you pull this from that 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel? Well, what I did was I looked at it and I realized what God had talked about up until then. I realized that the whole book of Ezekiel, when Ezekiel was chosen to be a prophet, and how God allowed this man to be a prophet at the time when he may have a prophet as well as a priest, when he may have thought that that hope is over for me. And God allowed him to see that I'm allowing you to be a part of the restoration of the family. I'm allowing you to give them words that they can work with. They can move in line with the wind and the spirit of restoration for the family. I'm allowing you to do that. I'm allowing you the opportunity to tell them what to do. May I use the Baptist sound for a minute? And I'm also allowing you to show the people what will be for those that move against it. I'm showing you, Ezekiel, what it would mean for the house of God, the family of God. Then I moved out to other nations. Then I started telling you about the restoration that I want to make. If you would allow me to be so bold as to give us another topic. The first topic still stands, but I think it's more catchy if I just say God wants to restore the family back to Eden, and we should be right in line with it. It might stick a little better. Yes, God wants us to work with what he's doing, but it's an Edenic theme that we see throughout the book of Ezekiel. And I want to move right in and show that that's what this is about. Those of you that have read it, you've seen that the water came out. You've seen that the water flowed. You've seen that the water brought about healing. You see that after the water comes out and the healing take place, then we start dealing with and talking about the inheritance. Well, I will submit to you that when God first started this world off, what he did was he didn't have any sicknesses there, and everything that was there was for the nourishment of those that he was going to put in Eden, and it was to branch out from there. Yes, it was. Secondarily, there was an inheritance that was supposed to have been given, and it was supposed to be for God's son, the man that was named Adam. And I will submit to you, this picture in Ezekiel is bringing that out. And I'm going to do my best to make this thing show up the way it is. And if you will, let's start at verse 1. What version are you in tonight?
Holman.
Can you go back to the other one for me? I forgot to read Holman, to bring out Holman. We didn't have that many measurements, so... That'll be good for me. We'll be on the same page. We'll be like twins tonight. Go with me with verse 1, please, precious.
Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward.
When we talk about the house, we're talking about the temple, what I call the temple proper. Let's understand that when the temple or the tabernacle was built, we are able to see that there was really two buildings there, or two edifices. Somebody say, tell where you come up with the two edifices from. Well, I read, I listen, I'm a student too. All of us are students of God's word. And I find sometime there's someone else that have been a student longer than I have, or at least have pictured something. But we see that within the temple complex, you have everything that's still sacred, but then there's another building inside of that building that's even more sacred than the others. We saw that even in Moses' tabernacle. We saw that. Well, the house is what we call the temple proper. And this is the place where God said in this particular book that that's where he would be. That's where he said his feet would rest right there in the holy place. And then the sanctuary is the place that before you come in there. And it says that waters issued out from under the threshold eastward. Now, that would be amazing because we noticed that there was no laver there. Mm-hmm. No laver. And if we kept the motif, it should have come to your mind, where's the laver? Where's the water? What's going on here? Well, God saved this part almost as if once I tell you about building the walls, the separation of the holiness for me, the gates where the entrances are, but the gates are guarded, bless his everlasting name. And not only are the gates guarded in their thickness and there's extra height that wasn't there before, and we've sectioned off certain parts for those that will serve me, now I'm going to let you see what I issue out from there. See, because we've talked about them coming in and being able to worship. If you come in from the north, you go out the south. If you come in from the south, you go out the north. You don't come in from the east. That's my place. The door is shut. You want the door to be shut. You don't want it open so that I leave again. But I got waters coming out. And these waters are going to go out and do something. Read some waters, precious word of God, please.
For the forefront of the house stood toward the east. And the waters came down from under, from the right side of the house, at the south side of the altar.
Now, you see, I talked about that the family should be moving along with what God is trying to do to restore the family. But I said that it's more like God is restoring the family back to the Edenic state. So let's look at the Edenic state just a little bit to see if what I'm saying makes sense. In the book of Genesis, there's some good information given there about what God had done. In Genesis chapter 2, if I read, I think I'll just start in verse number 8. Now, Eden was a place. But listen to what the word of God says about Eden. And Yahweh Adonai planted a garden eastward in Eden. Remember I said the tabernacle consisted of two places? You have the complex, and then you have the building of the holy place, the holiest of holies. It did the same thing within the tabernacle. You had all of the curtains around. You had the laver. You had the ark or whatever. And then you had this tent. If you look at any picture, any drawing, you'll see this thing that's covered with ram skin, badger skin, dyed red, in right there in it. Look at this picture. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and put the man whom he had formed. This is the original plan. I want you in my garden. I'm king of all the earth. You are my son. I'm placing you there. Listen to what the word of God said. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow every tree that is pleasant for the sight, good for food. And the tree of life is also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I submit to you that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil at this particular time was pleasant to the sight as well, good for food as well. It was not a tree that was evil. It was a good tree. It just had a prohibition on it. Then verse number 10 says, listen, feel this motif. And a river went out of Eden. Out of Eden to water the garden. It went out from the complex to water the garden, and from this it parted into four heads, or it parted and became four heads, and it gives the names of them, and it goes on down, and it tells you it compassed the land of Havilah. There's gold, and the gold is good. Delium is there, onyx stone, the river Gihon, the same, compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. That was Ethiopia. We see that this is before the flood. So somebody say, well, we know exactly what the world looked like before the flood. Now understand, there's a place called New York, what we call in America, but it's named after York that was somewhere else. So and then there's a thing called New England. So they could still know names that they had before. Remember, there was eight people that came from that. So I don't want to go there tonight. Verse 14 says, the third river is Hiddekel, and it goes toward the east of Assyria and Euphrates. And the Bible says, verse 15, and we're going back to where you were in Ezekiel. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to dress and to guard it. We have seen that this tabernacle, this temple that has been set up, has guards, six rooms in the 6x6 squares in each gate to guard and to keep it. We see not only are they there to guard it, we have temple, we have the priests, and different ones that are to serve. They are to do the job that's there. And we see that the people are to come there, bring their sacrifices. They want to have a meal with the Lord God who is blessed forever, a sacrificial meal. They are to bring their purification meals. They are to do what's necessary to have fellowship with God. If I were to read on through Genesis, we see that the Lord would come and he would commune with man in the cool of the day. But man was defiled, and that broke that up. But what I want us to see, that in the original picture that God had, he had waters flowing through. And if you're familiar with Genesis 1:26, man's job was to multiply and fill the earth, and to fill the earth from what came from the Garden of Eden, man's wisdom, man's knowledge, man's understanding, man's rules of what God wanted, was to fill the earth coming from Eden. It should have been flowing from Eden, that which God had given. Man would have been walking in God's wisdom. Man would have been walking in God's knowledge and understanding. And that would have been similar to the river flowing out, because God's word is like water to wash and cleanse and the sanctified individual. His word is the same thing that will cause an individual to grow, just like we're going to see in this passage, that the waters, when it come out and it heals, things begin to grow. Bless God's everlasting name. God wants to restore the family back to Eden, but the family must be in line with what God is doing in this restoration process, or else the ones that's in the family will miss out on what God is doing. And what a travesty that would be, because we've read so many times in the scripture of those that have done the same thing. Now, I have more on that. I might come back to that in a minute. But since I see I'm still in the first verse, I'll have Ann to move a little more.
Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without, unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward.
He brought me out of the gate northward. Now, I don't know if that means that he was right there, because he said afterward was when he started. But if someone else would have come through the south gate, they would have came out northward. So he brought him out northward and brought me by the way of the gate that led unto the utter gate that looked toward the east. Please read.
And behold, there ran out waters on the right side.
So we see that the waters are flowing on the right side. The waters are moving from under the house, and they are moving somewhere with a purpose. And we understand that it's not man's design to do this. It's not man's desire to do this. This is God restoring an Edenic type thing to the people. I submit to you, just like the waters flowed out of Eden, Adam had nothing to do with it. But there was a purpose. And if it were not a purpose, why would God put it right there and then the waters flow out as if Eden is elevated? And the water is flowing down and coming out. See, waters flowed in and then flowed out. So now we see waters coming and going. And I would submit to you that in this particular place in Ezekiel, this is miraculous. Because we're going to see waters flowing in directions that normally they don't flow. Please read some more of the sweet word of God that I love so well.
And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the water.
Now, when he said he measured 1,000 cubits, I'm going to help us cheat, because there's not a whole lot of measurements in here. So when he says he measured with a line, he made 1/3 of a mile. 1/3 of a mile. That's not that much unless your legs hurt or your back hurt or your feet are tired. Then it's a lot. But, you know, just normally 1/3 of a mile, that's not that far to go, especially if you're going to get some of this kind of water. Bless the Lord's name forever. So he said he led him out. Read it again with 1/3 of the mile in the mindset when we read it, please.
And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles.
When he led him about 1/3 of a mile... he brought me through the waters, and the waters were from the ankle. Now, this water is trickling. It's not that much. It's not a big stream. And the water, when it said issued out, and if you look at that, it talks about when the waters came out. This back in verse 1, it issued out. And then it said the waters came down from under the right side. That's where it's talking about it descends. It comes down lower. And it says it came to the south side. It came by the way of the gate. And now in verse 3, it's little bit to the ankle. Now, I don't know how high most people's ankle is, but it shouldn't be over 3 or 4 inches. Unless you have a really high feet. So it's very low. You can walk across it. It's enough to hydroplane if you're driving your car, but it's not that deep. Please read.
Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters.
And again, 1/3 of a mile, and he brought him through the waters, and what?
The waters were to the knee.
And the waters became knee deep. Don't think about songs, but the water got knee deep. Now, that's getting pretty good right there. Because when waters are knee deep, depending on how fast it's going, you can be carried off in the waters. But what we're seeing is that it started out as something small, and it's getting bigger without any of the input coming in. It's one thing to see waters get big and swell. You can see some coming off a hill or some coming off a ravine running down. And no, this is a miraculous occurrence. This is of the Lord doing the restoring. But not only is he doing restoring, and what he's doing is from the temple proper. I'm sending out that which is the restore. We should restore this area all around me where the priests are able to be beside me. The Zedekites is able to be there beside me. The children of Israel have a place beside me. And in even the stranger is going to have a place. And this is going to be watered by me, even so much so that this land is going to become fertile, because I, the Lord God, am trying to restore the family back to its Edenic state. Read some more of that sweet word.
Again, again he measured 1/3 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured a third and brought me through. The waters were to the loins.
Now we're talking about, this is the third time I believe it is that he's measured. And what the measurements are showing is that, number one, that as you go certain amounts, I'm measuring off the gradation of how the waters go. That's pretty deep now. When it's up to your loins, that's pretty deep. But that's not all. What happens after that?
Afterward, he measured a third, and it was a river that I could not pass over.
Now we see that the waters, instead of just being a trickle, instead of it just go, it is now called a river. It is now called a river. The water is called a river that is going through, and he said, I couldn't pass over it. It is expanded. When we come out of Genesis, we see there were four rivers going out, and they were flowing out to the land, and there was a man that was there, Eastward in Eden, that had been told to multiply and fill the earth. I submit to you, in the original state, Adam was in a place where he had the waters flowing that were coming from where the presence of God was. And he was just like the river. Somebody say, are you going to try to say he's a water man? No, I'm not going to say he's a water man. But that which came from him should have been flowing out from Eden to Havilah to Hiddekel and to the different parts of the world, because you have been in the presence of God, and what you are experiencing in the presence of God, it should be just like what the water is. The water is doing things naturally coming from Eden, and Adam, you're supposed to be doing that which was the water is going to be doing in Ezekiel. You're supposed to be taking God's word. You're supposed to be taking God's knowledge. You're supposed to be bringing God's light, his health, and the natural state of the creation to all mankind, because I'm even allowing them to flow from you as if you are a river. Bless the Lord's everlasting name. How much more so was Israel supposed to be like that to the nations? Israel was supposed to go, and they were supposed to water the nations. They were supposed to give the light of the glory of God to the nations. The nations were supposed to learn God's laws. They were supposed to learn God's holy statutes. They were supposed to bring health and healing to the nations. And they had failed. And God had to exile them. God had to smite them with different kind of diseases. He had to smite them and had to beat them down. And many of them were killed off. And now God is, again, as he has stated throughout this book, trying to restore the family to an Edenic state, not because of their own righteousness, but there were a few that mourned inside, according to Ezekiel chapter 9. We know Jeremiah was one of those. And I can restore you to a new covenant. I can restore you to do this and to build this. And this is what I'm doing to help. I'm giving you a picture of what I'm to do, Ezekiel. And this thing is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing in the sight of God. It should be a beautiful thing to us. I don't think I should stop with Ezekiel. Let me give you this for free. If we as the family of God have not God's spirit in us, God's word in us, or anything of value to carry out into this world, we are miserable failures. If all we can do is claim that our ministry, or our churches, people call it, all of that, and we carry nothing to this world to give light, to give instruction, to help bring about God's healing, we, just like Israel, are miserable failures. And we need to repent and start all over. So it says again, this is what he did. And let me look at my time, because there's a lot of things I want to bring out. I want to just bring out a couple of things for free. In that third verse, because we're in about the sixth verse now, and I could go back after I'm finished to get to that, but I think I'll hit it now. When I say that we as the children of God are supposed to be able to do this, because we need to know the relevance for us. In the book of Acts, we see in the book of Acts that the Spirit of God comes on the children of Israel that are gathered there at during the time of Pentecost. And in Acts 2 and 4, when the people are waiting in the upper room, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Do you all remember that? And it talked about there were men from all of the nations under heaven gathered there. And they heard them speak in their own languages the wonderful and the magnificent things of God. Here we see the people of God are being used just like that river to let that flow out from which they had gotten from God's Son to help bring about a restoration of the Edenic state, not only to the children of Israel and to the family, but to the world. And then we see in verse 33 of Acts chapter 2, listen what Peter said when they thought he was drunk. Peter says in verse 33 of Acts chapter 2, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted, talking about his son Jesus, having received the promise of the Holy Ghost which he has shed forth, this is what you now see and hear. In other words, they were thinking that the people were drunk. Peter said, this is not anything that you can get from a bottle. This is God bringing about his restoration to the people. This is God bringing about that which can bring about a healing of the sin-sick soul. The book of Isaiah said that the children of Israel, at one time, they were so sick from the top of the head to from the bottom of the foot to the crown of the head, the whole body of the family was full of disease and corruption. Bless God's everlasting name. And then we see that river, or the Spirit of God that was flowing out to bring about restoration to the family and to the world in the days whenever Peter had to go visit Cornelius in Acts 10 and 45. When they got upset about that, Peter says, and they of the circumcision, which believed, were astonished when Peter came, because on that the Gentiles or the nations were poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. As we will see as we move on in this chapter, this water is not just going to be flowing for the children of Israel. It's just not going to be flowing for Dan and Gad and Asher and Manasseh and Ephraim and Judah and Benjamin. It's going to flow to the nation, because God wants to restore the family, and the family is supposed to live in such a way that men may see the family's good work and the men of the nation will glorify our Father, which is in heaven. I may get to John chapter 7 and talk about Jesus talking about water flowing out of the belly, but I need to move on in verse 6. I just want you to know that I do have some stuff waiting on us. Let's go to verse 6 again, please.
I haven't
finished. Finish 5 in, because I'm moving a little, because I have so much, it's so much packed in this that I believe the motifs are taken throughout the scriptures, that it's like I would be remiss not to bring out some of it.
Afterward, he measured a third, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river.
He says, have you seen it? This, to me, this is the kind of question that God asked Adam when he sinned. Adam, where are you? You see, I don't believe that he's just asking Ezekiel. And if I'm wrong, somebody prove it to me, then I'll take it. But all of us being students ought to know that God knows that Ezekiel saw it. I mean, if you're out there and you can't swim over the water, you see that. But have you seen it? Do you have eyes to see and to perceive what's going on? And he says, have you seen it? And he calls me to return to the brink of the river. In other words, what did you miss? What did you miss? What was happening? What was going on? What did you miss? Well, read the next verse and let's get a taste.
Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other.
When I returned, it was as if the water had fascinated me so much that I didn't fully get to see the whole grasp of what God was doing in this restoration process for the family. You see, because we had gone through a process where there was famine. We had gone through a process where we had to eat dove's dung. That, we see that in the Kings. We had gone through a process where there wasn't that much food. We have seen the process where God has stripped us down because he wanted to restore us to an Edenic state, but there were so many that had risen up against God in their pride, in their arrogance, in their willful disobedience to his holy word. And then there were some that because they didn't know, they hadn't really paid attention to God's word, even the stuff that they did that was unintentional was still got to be judged because you didn't honor me. And when you didn't honor me, you were supposed to go out into the world and show and flow. How do you know that, Tim? Listen to what the prophet Habakkuk says that was supposed to happen. He says, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of Yahweh. How? As the waters cover the sea. Have you ever just looked at the sea sometime from a picture on TV? And it's like, that could be concrete. If you just watch a boat go across it, it's like, that could be concrete, but it's water. He said, the earth shall be filled with it as it covers the sea. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 13:31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it's grown, it's the greatest among herbs, becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge. Remember, this water started out very low, at the ankles, got to the knees, got to the loins, and it got to where it was so much so that it now has covered everything. Now we, and you got to swim across it. This is God's restorative process taking place, and this is God issuing it out from the temple, because remember, everybody can't come to the sanctuary. But I can send you something from the sanctuary that's full of my blessing and full of my benefit or restoration. Well, somebody say, but what about Jesus? Well, I love him. Let's look at what Jesus said when he talks like that. John 7:37, it says, in the great day, the great day of the feast, the great day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried, saying, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, that believeth, that's what is called a present active participle. For those that don't care a whole lot about these parts of speech, that just means that he that is believing, with the ing, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow, listen to this, rivers of living water. Don't ever think that just in this temple and what you see in this temple, that's all that there is to be for the child of God. You see, because God will give us things in practical application. God will give us things in picture form. But the ultimacy of it is for it to be real in your life. Yes, it's real in your life when you drink of it. Yes, it's real of it when you become bit, when you benefit it and your animals can drink of it and you can drink of it. But God is not just interested in your heart beating and your brain synapses working and your muscles being able to move and have flexibility. He's interested in you bringing about the restoration of the family to the Edenic state because you are walking in his word, you're speaking his word, you're bringing his word to your family, your co-workers, and you're actually living by it yourself. And Jesus is saying that just like in that temple, somebody say, he didn't say just like in that temple, well, you ought to be able to understand something. If you can't, let me spell it out. If God is on the throne of your heart, where he's supposed to be, according to John 14:23, he's abiding in you. Then the Bible says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 said, but he spake of the Spirit which they which believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not glorified. And people take that scripture to think that the Holy Spirit had not been given before in what we call the Old Testament. This is talking with specificity to do the will that I'm going to teach you, to do the job that I'm going to teach you. The Holy Spirit had been given many times to do the job that God had given to Moses, for David to give the diagram or the architectural design for Solomon to build a temple. The Holy Spirit had been given, but for this purpose, he had not been given. Validation is Acts 1 and 8. You stay here in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere until the promise of the Father come on you, and then you'll be able to be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and the other parts of the world. Then the water of the Spirit will be able to come unto you, and you'll be able to flow just like what's coming from here. But here we're seeing a picture of what is to be in us as well. And let's not miss it. Reed, go back to where we were in Ezekiel, Andrea. I know I took a minute, but we don't want to look at that passage and miss that God, whatever we see going on in this temple, should be going on in our lives as a family if we call ourselves going to be restored to God. Please read.
Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river.
That's verse 7. Go ahead.
Were very many trees on the one side and on the other.
That's back like what we had in Genesis. God had trees. Every tree, good for food, good for sight, was in there where the waters were in the Garden of Eden for man to eat off of. Here, restoring you back. Here we have trees planted again, and the trees are there for the individual to eat off of. And we see the same thing as we talked about before we started. We see the same type of motif in the book of the Revelation. The Bible says in the midst of the street, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare all manner of fruits and yielded her fruit. Now notice, all manner of fruits, different kinds of fruit, then yielded her fruit, plural. In other words, if you have a tree that's giving bananas, and I'm just using it as an illustration, then it's got a lot of bananas. But that's not the only kind of fruit tree here, okay? So it meant all yielded her fruit every month. Listen, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Now, we've talked about in the book of Ezekiel that we are to be like trees as well. We talked about it before we discussed, and Dree brought up Psalm 1. The man that's a man of God that stay in God's word day and night, he'll be like a tree. He'll be like a tree planted by the river of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. It's not just for the tabernacle to do it. If the tabernacle was downtown Atlanta and you could see the waters coming and you could see the trees on it and you could come and get healing, that would never negate that your job is to be like that tree and the waters flowing through you. You would have an objective picture to look at what you're supposed to be like. Don't you ever forget it. And Israel is being given this magnificent picture of God wanting to restore the family and the world back to its Edenic state. I tell you, I could just stand up here and just start clapping my hand and jumping up and down and just think about, wow, this is what God wants me to be a part of. That one day, I'll be back in the Edenic state. And look at all this healing, Ann. If all this healing is taking place, I'm not going to have no sickness. I'm not going to have any disease. And in my restored body, hallelujah. These people that's doing this particular vision, during this particular time, obviously they can have things that go wrong with them that can be straightened out because of God's holy water coming from his temple. He could have made the water come from anywhere, but that's not his pattern. Please read some more sweet word of God that we love so well.
Then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert.
And go down to the area that is barren. The water, go down to the arid place. The water, go down to the place that is lacking that which is needed. It's called an araba. If you look the word up, the araba. It goes down there, and it goes to the place where it has no real life coming from it. I mean, you understand there are some things that can live in the desert. But this is not a place of fertility. But God is going to restore. What does he say in the next part of that verse?
And go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed.
According to everything that I read, that this in the Araba is the area of the Dead Sea, that the mineral deposits there is, I think, 26 times stronger than the lake. I mean, at the lake, than the ocean. It's so salty that people that have told me that they've gone there, they can just lay on the water and they can't sink. That aquatic fish don't live in it. I said aquatic, I was going to say aquatic life, then unchanging the fish. So if someone said, well, aquatic and fish are the same thing, I was thinking two things at the same time. But it says the water is going to flow into a body of water that's not producing life. Do you feel this? It's going to flow into a place that's not acting like it's edenic. And it's going to flow into it, and the water shall be healed. Well, this is something that God is talking about doing, and it's a restorative of the Edenic state. But somebody say, well, I don't believe this can happen. And you look at them and you say, do you believe the Bible? Yeah, but that's, I don't think that can happen. Well, let's look at God's resume. In the 15th chapter of the book of Exodus, verse 22, let's let God talk. So he's going to give us some information about Moses. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out of the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And they came to Marah and could not drink the waters of Marah because they were bitter. In other words, they had a stringent, pungent, disagreeable taste. Therefore, it was called Marah, bitter. That's the same name we get when we talk about Naomi. She calls herself Marah. It says, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And they cried unto Yahweh, and Yahweh showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And he made and there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved, attested them, and said, now I want us to see what's going on here. In the book of Ezekiel, the water said it can go down into the Araba, to the where the water is salty and no longer good, but it can heal the waters. And I'm showing you that this is not something new for God to be able to heal that is bitter, that is not good for life, that cannot sustain, and that the trees are for the healing that we see in the book of Ezekiel. This is not the first time that God has used the tree for healing. Bless his everlasting name. This tree is going to make the water sweet. Now he says, in verse 26, if you will diligently, you know, some people want to half do it. They want to play with it. But if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep or guard all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am Yahweh that healeth thee. Do you see that? I'm the Lord that heals you. When this water is flowing from this temple, from up under the temple, and it's going by the right side of the altar, and it gets more and more, and it goes out, and it has these trees growing, and it goes into the water, I'm the one that's doing it. It's miraculous. It doesn't matter what any commentator says. God has done it before. He said he'll do it again, and I submit to you that if God allows us, like he allowed those people in the book of Acts, to be able to help the Spirit, Peter can preach. 3,000 people come to the Lord that day, and those people are still there to go and spread out throughout the world. If God uses you to bring the light of the glory of God or the water of his word to a person that is stagnated in their life, and he allows you to bring about that water in there that will live through his word, it's still not you. It's the Lord that's doing the healing. Now, that's how Gary said, now, let's go back to where we were in Ezekiel. Every now and then it's nice to see God's resume when he say he can do something. And it says, I think in verse 9, these waters shall be healed. You were at 8.
I'll finish it. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live.
Now, if you notice that, where it says everything that liveth, and it says, and everything that moveth shall live, you know, when you look at that particular verse, you might miss it. But when Dree read a little earlier, that word is swarm. And if you think about it, it takes you right back to the Edenic state where God talked about the different things that swarmed. Because that same word is the same word that's used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. Let me read it to you. It says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that have life and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heaven. And when you say the moving creature, that's the same word. It's the Edenic state that the water is bringing this forth. I submit to you that in the what Ezekiel is saying is that God is restoring and he's doing things like he did the first time. But they're getting a chance to see it in a restored state, because sometimes people are more grateful when they get something the second time than they were the first time. Yeah, they were. Yeah, they are. Let a man that has lost everything regain it and see how grateful he is and see if he'll stop being as frivolous as he was the first time. I know the way Dave Ramsey talked, it worked for him. Please read some more.
And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither.
Life is coming from that which... Do you understand? It's showing that life is coming from the presence of what God is sending out. And the same thing we see in Genesis, when he spoke the word, let it come forth, life came forth. Now I'm sending the water, life come forth. And I'm letting Ezekiel see, this is what I got for the family. I submit to everybody that's listening to you. Well, to me, is that if life can't come forth from our words, what are our words doing? Are they full of folly? Are they creating death and carnage? Are we spreading the lifeline of God's Spirit, the living water, to other people? I don't want us to forget that God is wanting to restore the family to the Edenic state. We see that he's doing this for Israel, but don't we ever forget that these things that are written were written aforetime, 15th chapter, Romans verse 4, for our learning, that we through comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Read some more, sweet word of God that we love.
For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whether the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto En Eglaim.
That's a hard one. Let it stay like that. It depends on what your little marks are in your Bible. Okay. I want us to understand that this is not something that God is just saying it right now. He's keeping his same motif for the family. Do you remember in the 36th chapter, I would say the 36th and 37th chapter, what God has said, I'm going to give them a new heart, I'm going to give them a new spirit, I'm going to cause them to walk with me. 37th chapter, we talked about the dry bones, how he is going to restore. He said, can these bones live? Prophesy to the bones, live, live! And the bones live. In chapter 34, we see what God says in 34 and 36, I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. I will cause the shower to come down in its season. There shall be showers of blessing, and the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in the land, and they shall know that I am Yahweh when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hands of those that serve themselves of them. They shall be no more prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them. They shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. When we went to Ezekiel 36, verse 8, but, O mountains of Israel, you shall shoot forth your branches, you shall yield your fruit to my people of Israel. For they are yet at hand to come, for behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply men upon you in the house of Israel, and all of the cities shall be inhabited. And the waste shall be builded, and I will multiply upon you man and beast. What we are seeing is the fruition. I got an uncle to say fruitation, and that word just went into my mouth. We are seeing the fulfillment of this. And then we see in the 37th chapter, 25, still in Ezekiel, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, and their children forever, and David shall be their prince forevermore. Over, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant. And I will place them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in the midst of them. My tabernacle shall also be with them. And I will be their God, and they will be my people, and the heathen will know. I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel. Do we see him being consistent in this book? But if you just go and read chapter 47 and you don't attach it, it's like this, he's showing us the graphic picture of the fulfillment of what God is doing for them. But it's not the complete fulfillment, because those of us who have been reading in the book of the Revelation know that there will be a time, there will be no temple. There will be no more illustrative temple of a picture showing God dwelling in the midst. He will be a temple. And we little temples walking around should have waters flowing from us as well. Read some more of the sweet word of God, Andrina. You're doing such a magnificent job for us.
And it's, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi, even unto Eglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many.
In other words, you're going to have plenty of fish to deal with. You're going to be having your net spread, but it's not going to be the same way like it was in Ezekiel 26 for Tyre, when they spread their nets and that fish has come there and Tyre has been destroyed. This is showing the productivity that is being there, that's taking place, and God is showing that the fishes would do that. And I will submit to you that if you take into consideration that Jesus was fully aware of what the scripture says when he tells the disciples, "Yeah, I'm going to make you fishers of men." And he tells the disciples, "You wait till you get the Spirit, till the Spirit come on you, and you'll be witnesses unto me to Jerusalem and Samaria and Jerusalem and to the uttermost parts of the world," that the Spirit will flow in such a way that the Spirit will cause there to be all kind of fishes all over the land, fishes of men, and you'll be fishers. Here we're talking about fish in particular, but Jesus is the one to use the motif of fishes. I didn't make it up. And I submit to you that if we're doing God's will and God has sent his Spirit out just like he sent that water out, naked catch fish, then I submit to you that if we're walking with God, we should be able to fish as well for the Lord. Bless his everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
"But the miry places thereof and the marishes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt."
Now there are some places it's not going to be healed. And you think about that. That all of this living water, and there are some places that won't be healed. But I would submit to you, I don't fully grasp all that that means about the miry places not being healed. But what I do grasp in that is that they got to, you have to have salt to live. They would have to have salt for their covenants. But there's also a little thing inside of me that feel like there are some places that's not affected by the water, or that the water don't touch. And because of that, it stays miry, it stays bitter, it stays unproductive. And it makes me think of sometimes maybe some of our family members. It makes me think of sometimes people that don't want to hear the word of God, or people that we around that we don't bring the water to, or that some we bring the water to and they just don't be affected. Well, in this particular case, this living water, the places it doesn't touch, it stays the same way. And it's not healed. That would let you see that healing is really from the Lord. Please read.
"And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed."
Doesn't that sound like Psalm 1? "Blessed are the men that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful." But it goes on and says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord," and it says, "and he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither." Blessed is the everlasting name. "And whatever he doeth shall prosper." Please read some more of the sweet word of God.
it shall bring forth new fruit according to its month.
Are we bringing forth new fruit, or is it only going to be these trees that's by the rivers? Are we actually by the rivers, Israel? Are you by the rivers? Because when I look and I see the news now, the only ones that I get to hear about in Israel most of the time are those that are not bringing forth fruit. But I don't know everybody in Israel. Read.
Their waters.
Just go back and read the whole verse.
Okay, it shall bring forth new fruit according to his month, because their waters they issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine.
Do you understand that's what those are there for, and it's for the nation, it's for Israel, etc.? But I'm going to show you that Israel is supposed to have been like this. I'm going to show you that God is trying to restore them to the Edenic state. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22, listen to what he says. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then, is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why? Because somebody's not doing the job. Somebody is not living like the tree like they're supposed to be. And we talked about the 12 manners of fruit in the book of the Revelation. And then it says here in verse 13, thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border whereof ye shall inherit the land. According to the 12 tribes of Israel, Joseph shall have two portions. Let us not forget that the family being restored to the Edenic state, that the family being restored to the Sinaitic state. What do you mean the Sinaitic state, Tim? Well, God took them up in the mountain and let them see himself, and God let them go and see that if anybody touched that mountain where the borders were, they would be thrust through. God allowed them to build a tabernacle that represented the mountain just like they were still in Sinai wherever they went. Yes, it was, because wherever God is and his presence is, that's where it was. And he said, I'm still working with Israel. I have not forgot Israel. I brought other people into the family, but I have not disregarded the family. And here we see that there are going to be two portions for Joseph. Why is that? Because I'm sticking with the motif. What was the motif? Genesis 48 and 2, when he saw the sons of Joseph, Jacob, Israel said to them, and said, now thy two sons. Genesis 48 and 5, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt. He just says these two words, are mine. That's adoption. Are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Verse 21, what does he say? And Israel said to Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren. That's 48 and 22, which this is something I haven't found out yet. It says, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and my bow. So when we go into a discussion, if anybody knows what that is, I haven't found that one out yet. But he said he did it. And we see in 1 Chronicles 5 and 1, when it talks about the inheritance, it says, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the sons of Israel, and the genealogy is not reckoned after the birthright. So we see here the same thing is going on, the same Joseph. It fits perfectly. Verse 14, Andrina.
And ye shall inherit it, one as well as another, concerning the which I lifted up mine hand to give it unto your fathers, and this land shall fall unto you for inheritance.
In other words, I'm going to restore you to the Edenic state. I tried to restore you to the Edenic state when I gave you a tabernacle, when I let you encamp around about me, when I let you have my Shekinah glory. You had a fire in the night. You had a cloud in the day. You had me with you teaching. You had me. And in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I had told you what you would be able to do for all of the nations. And I'm trying to restore you to that state, but you are the ones that dropped the ball. You are the ones that have done these things. And here is something I like. When he says in this 14th verse, go back and read. I'm going to point to you, and I want you to see if you see why I like this part. Read 14 again.
And ye shall inherit it, one as well as another, concerning the which I lifted up mine hand.
Yes, that's it right there. When God said I lifted up mine hand, that means something. That usually is talking about when God swear oath. Let's get a little taste of this. I want you to see in Genesis 22 and 16, God says, talking to Abraham after he offered up Isaac, and said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because you have done this thing and withheld not your only son, that in blessing I will bless you. And we know about that. Numbers 14 and 28, God says, say to them, truly as I live, saith the Lord, and I have spoken in mine ears, or as you have spoken in my ears, that's what I'm going to do to you. Psalms 106 or 106, 26. Therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness. I submit to you, there are times that God lifts up his hand for blessing, and you love it. But there's time he lifts up his hand to bring about judgment, because that is still a part of what it takes to restore the family to where it needs to be. Bless his everlasting name. And I'll read this last one in Exodus 20 and 5. And this is right when you get the commandments. It says, and saying to them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I chose Israel, I lifted up my hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, and made myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up my hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. Please go back to where you were and read some more of the sweet word of God.
And this shall be the border of the land toward the north side, from the great sea, the way of Hethlon, as men go to Zedad, Hamath, Berotha, Sibraim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath.
It's amazing that we see that in Damascus, we see that Damascus, that same Damascus in the news now. We see that same Damascus is where Saul came from. And we see that this is the place where we have in Genesis 14, and we have Damascus mentioned right here where they're being pursued. But go ahead and read.
Hazar, Hatikam, which is by the coast of Huron, and the border from the sea shall be Hazar Enon, the border of Damascus, and the northward, and the border of Hamath, and this is the north side. And the east side ye shall measure from Huron, and from Damascus, and from Gilead, and from the land of Israel by Jordan.
What I plan to do is on Saturday, I can show you this on the map, and we'll be able to look at this, and you'll see it stacked down. It goes up closer to where, when you see Palestine, you have your Galilee, Samaria, and Judea, and up above there, you'll see different sections coming down right there at the Mediterranean Sea. You'll see the different sections that is given off for them to live, where you've had different wars, different things that have taken place throughout their history. But they know these histories. They know the stories of things that are going on at this particular time. But this is the land. Now remember, the whole world is God's. The whole world supposed to be the family of God. But I haven't forgotten my oath. I lifted up my hand and swore that I would do this. And this is what Ezekiel is seeing. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
And the south side southward, from Tamar, even to the waters of strife in Kadesh.
Now, I would read about the waters of strife, but I'm not going to read about it this time. Oh, I know you're disappointed. But what happened is Moses was supposed to speak to the rock. Moses didn't speak to the rock. Moses called the people rebels, struck the rock. The water came out, and because of the strife that he had with the people of Israel at this particular time, he didn't honor God before the family. He was not able to go into the land of promise. And this is where you talk about the waters of strife. And that's what it's called. Please read.
And this is the south side southward. The west side also shall be the great sea from the border.
The Great Sea is the Mediterranean Sea. When you look at the map, when you see it up against Israel, that's called the Mediterranean. And often in the Bible, it's called the Great Sea. Please read.
Till a man come over against Hamath. This is the west side.
Now, Hamath, I don't know if that means much, because the name of it comes from it's a citadel or a defense. But it just says if you come over to Hamath, and you'll be able to see that when I show you the map. Go ahead on 21.
So shall ye divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel.
And I submit to you that what God is going to do is he's going to restore the family. He's going to restore the family back to him. He's going to restore it to an Edenic state. We should be working in line with that. Not only should we be working in line with that, but remember, there's an inheritance that God has for his people. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
And it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance unto you, and to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you.
Now this is going to be an addendum. You see, now God is saying you are going to fulfill your role. There are going to be strangers there. The strangers are going to participate, and they're going to have an inheritance right there with you. It's going to be fulfillment of what we see in Deuteronomy 10 and 19. Love ye therefore the strangers, for you are strangers in Egypt. You're going to love them, and they're going to have an inheritance in this land. Bless the Lord's everlasting name forever. Please read.
And they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel.
They will have inheritance, and then we will see that fulfilled, just like in Acts 15 and 9, where they had that bit discussion over Cornelius and Peter going to eat with the Gentiles, and they gave that sentence, and Peter said, "And he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Bless God forever. Romans 10 and 12 say there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is over all, rich to all them that call upon him. That water that flowed from that temple is not just for the family of God that is now. It's for the family of God that's going to be restored and those that are adopted and coming to it. Bless his mighty name forever. Read the finished part of this verse.
And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, there shall ye give him his inheritance, saith Yahweh Adonai Yahweh.
And this is what God wants. When he restored things to the Edenic state, and ultimately all are going to be his family, but at this particular time, those that are there, those that are going to benefit from the rivers of living water, those that are going to benefit from being able to go to that temple and worship, those that are going to understand the holiness of God, those that are going to be there where the prince don't take advantage of them, those that are going to go and bring their sacrifice coming in from the north, going out the south, and etc. And while God is enthroned in his temple not to leave ever again, and the waters flowing out healing and bringing about restoration of the land, other nations are benefiting from it. And then we know from some other passages in the Bible that those that don't come up to the feast, they don't get rain. We know that. But God is wanting to restore the family. And just like I said earlier, when you're walking in the alley and the wind is blowing, if you're walking with it, all is well. Well, you might move a little faster than you want to, but when you walk against it, it's hard. When you walk, a person or a family, or even the children of Israel, walk against God trying to restore the family back to the original state, back to the Edenic state, they were walking against something that was too big for them. And many suffered, died, family were destroyed because of it. How much more for us if we're not willing to walk with God? How much more if we're not willing to be restored and bring about restoration to those that we know? We should be like that temple. God should be dwelling in us. We should be like that water flowing. We should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What you see in this picture, in Ezekiel, in many ways, supposed to reflect us. They're going to get to enjoy it. They would get to enjoy it. They were supposed to be able to be there to see it. But it never was to negate that they had a particular role to play themselves. Has this been fulfilled? I have never seen it fulfilled in Israel. But Ezekiel saw it. And we know the ultimacy of it as well. Let's have our minds right with God so that we can partake in helping restore the world, our family, ourselves, to the Edenic state that God wants for us. Father, help us. Guide us. Lead us into your truth. We get so distracted. Often we get caught up by our denominations. We get caught up by things that we feel. And often we miss that what you're trying to do is restore You're trying to restore, but you set your bounds of holiness. You set the bounds of where your presence will be. You set the bounds of how you want to be worshipped. And then, Lord, once those things are in place, you let your spirit, you let your water flow to heal, to bring about life, to restore, to get us back to the place so that the time will come when you take the curse off the earth. Take the sting of death, just the sting of death, but the curse of death away from us. And we can be restored to you as the family of God. And sit down and eat at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And drink the new wine with you in your heavenly kingdom. We don't fully understand and grasp what all that means, but we want to do it, Lord. We've seen what's here in the chaotic state of the after the fall. We want to see the tranquil state of the restored kingdom that you're going to bring. Help us, I pray, in the blessed name of the holy of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Help us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in your work, so that our labor will not be in vain in the Lord. Amen and amen, and even so, amen.